Chapter 53. Kip and Liv went straight to the blackguards watching the lift.
"We need to see the prism," Liv said.
"Who are you?"
the man asked. It was short, Parian, of course, and built like a cornerstone. He looked at Kip.
"Oh, are you the prism's
he coughed.
"Nephew?"
"Yes, I'm his bastard," Kip said angrily. "We need to see him now."
The blackguard looked over at his compatriot, a man just as muscular but toweringly tall.
"We've had no orders on how the prison wants his nephew treated," the man said. "He just went to sleep not 20 minutes ago," the other said, "after being up all night."
"It's an emergency," Liv said.
They seemed unmoved, a little of a "who the hell is this girl" creeping into their faces.
"Someone just tried to kill me," Kip said.
"Stump, get the commander," the tall one said.
Stump. The short blackguard's name was actually Stump, because the blackguards were both Parian, who traditionally had descriptive names like Iron Fist. Kip had no idea if that was a nickname or really his name.
"He took third watch last night," Stump said, his mouth twisting. "Stump!"
pulling rank.
All right, I'm going."
Stump left, and the taller blackguard turned and rapped on the door 3 times, pause, 2 times. Then, after 5 seconds, he repeated it. A room slave opened the door almost before the blackguard finished knocking. A pretty woman with the unsettlingly pale skin and red hair of a blood forester. She was fully dressed and alert, despite the early hour and the darkness of the chamber behind her.
"Maricia," Liv said, "so good to see you again."
Her voice didn't sound totally sincere. The slave appeared none too pleased to see Liv. Kip wondered why Liv had used the slave's name then. He thought you were only supposed to do that with slaves with whom you were friendly. From deep in the chamber they heard Gavin's voice, deep and scratchy from just waking.
Give me a..."
Whatever else he said, it was lost in bass and pillows. A moment later all the windows banged open and light streamed in from all sides, nearly blinding everyone, and eliciting a loud groan from the prism on his bed.
"That's brilliant magic," Liv said. "Look at that, Kip."
She pointed at a dark purplish-black strip of glass around the glass walls that encircled the whole chamber.
"What are you... are you forgetting why we're here?" Kip asked.
"Oh, sorry." Gavin was squinting at them.
"Maricia, copy, please."
The woman bobbed.
"First closet, third from the left."
Then she left.
"Copy's in the closet?" Gavin asked. "What the hell? Who puts copy... and why aren't you serving me?"
The door closed behind her.
"And where's my favourite shirt? Oh, closet. Damned woman."
"Clearly a morning person,"
Liv said under her breath. Kip snorted before he could stop himself. Gavin had been looking down as if feeling trapped, but now he shot Kip a look.
"This had better be important."
He threw off his covers and walked toward the closet. He wasn't wearing anything. Kip had seen Gavin's forearms with hemp ropes for muscles, and he'd known his father was lean, but seeing his whole body was half awe-inspiring and half a slap in the face. Kip's shoulders were as broad as Gavin's, and his arms were probably as big around as Gavin's, but even now, not after exertion, not filled from hard labour, but now, after sleeping, Gavin's body was one smooth curving muscle meeting another over and over, without an ounce of softness anywhere. Apparently sculling and skimming around the entirety of the 7 satrapies did that to a man.
"How did I come to this?"
Next to him, Kip grew aware of Liv staring, open-mouthed. She didn't avert her eyes, even as Gavin had to rummage through the closet.
"Liv,"
Kip said under his breath.
"What?"
she asked, glancing away, her cheeks bright.
"He's the prism. It's practically my religious duty to give him my full attention."
Gavin, who'd seemed oblivious to them, grabbed some clothing and said, without looking at them, "Anna, staring is rude." Liv blushed harder and sank into herself, horrified.
"Her name's Liv," Kip said.
"I know her name. Now, what is it?"
Gavin demanded, pulling on a dazzling white silk shirt with gold piping. The door opened behind Kip, and Maricia and Commander Iron Fist stepped into the room. Iron Fist stopped at the door while Maricia brought in a tray with a silver service on it and 3 cups. She poured a dark, creamy, steaming brew into one cup and handed it to Gavin, whose pants and sleeves were still unlaced.
"Commander? Kip?" Gavin asked, motioning to the other cups. "I think Liv is quite alert enough already."
Liv looked like she wanted to fall through the floor. Kip grinned. Iron Fist helped himself to the copy, while Mauricio took over dressing Gavin. Kip picked up a cup too. But as he picked up the carafe, his hands started shaking so badly he couldn't even try to fill his cup.
"Someone tried to throw me off the balcony," Kip said.
It was like the words made it real. One moment ago, he'd been joking with Liv, thinking about how unlike his father he was, and grinning when Liv got embarrassed. Now the reality of how close he'd come to getting thrown to his death came crashing in on him. He could see himself falling, twisting, helpless, like in an awful dream, and then his body bursting like a juicy grape. And who would have suspected anything? The woman could have slipped into his room, thrown him off the balcony, and then simply left. Even if they'd figured out who was on the floor at the time, who would expect a big woman as an assassin? People would have thought Kip had broken after his testing and jumped. No one would have known. And who would have cared? Kip felt a great gnawing emptiness in his chest. He'd never been part of anything. Even back in Recton, he hadn't belonged. Too fat and awkward for Issa, too smart to feel a connection to Sanson, who seemed a whisker away from simple. Relentlessly mocked by Ram, too young for Liv. He had thought that being part of the Chromeria would make him be part of something for the first time in his life. He was going to be different here, too. He would be different and alone no matter where he went. Orholm, why had he even stopped that woman from throwing him over? 2 moments of terror, sure, and a mess of exploded Kip on the rocks, but the terror would end, everything would end, and the sea would wash away the mess. Someone slapped him. Kip staggered, rubbed his jaw. "Make the words, Kip," Gavin said. So Kip told them everything. Liv stared woodenly at the floor when he told of her leaving after he'd told her that he thought her father was dead. Commander Iron Fist said,
"General Danavis has been living in some backwater village all this time."
He glanced at Liv.
"Sorry, I knew we had a Danavis at the Chromeria, but I didn't think you were related."
He cleared his throat and shut up.
"I wouldn't be surprised if he did get away," Gavin said.
"The general was always a wily bastard, and I mean that in the best possible way." Liv grinned, weakly and briefly. Kip told them the rest of it. After he finished, Gavin and Iron Fist shared a look.
"The broken eye?"
Iron Fist asked. Gavin shrugged. "Impossible to know. Of course, that's the point."
"The what?" Kip asked. "My magisters told us that was a myth," Liv protested.
The prism and the commander of the Blackguard turned to look at her. She swallowed hard and stared at the floor. Iron Fist said,
"Your magisters are partly right. The Order of the Broken Eye is a reputed guild of assassins. They specialize in killing drafters. They've been rooted out and destroyed on at least 3 separate occasions, if not more. No satrap or satrapper enjoys losing drafters who've cost them so much before the end of their natural span. We believe that each time the Order has reformed, it's been without any connection to any of the previous Orders."
"To put it plainly," Gavin said, "some thug rounds up a few more thugs, hoping to make a lot of money from backstabbing a few drafters, and they name themselves the Order of the Broken Eye so they can demand hefty payments. It's pure pretense."
"How do you know?" Kip asked.
"Because if they were real, they'd be better at their job."
Kip scowled. His assassin had been pretty good.
"It's not to say they're all equally incompetent, Kip," Gavin said. "That's the whole point. We shouldn't even have brought it up. It doesn't get us any closer to the real problem. Whether or not the Order is real, someone sent an assassin to kill you. You haven't been here long enough to make any enemies, so it's clearly an enemy of mine. There's only one thing for us to do."
Kip bit.
"What?"
He didn't want to admit that he had already made an enemy. Surely that tester, Magister Golden, wouldn't have sent an assassin after him, would he?
"We run away." Gavin grinned, a reckless, boyish grin, eyes dancing.
"What?"
Kip and Liv asked at the same time.
"Meet me at the docks in an hour. Liv, that means you too. You'll be Kip's tutor. We're going to Garriston."
"Garriston?"
Liv asked.
Pack quick, Gavin said. You never know where the order is lurking.
He grinned again, teasing.
Oh, thanks, Liv said.
Pack? Kip asked as Gavin swept out of the room. I don't even own anything.